He joins us regularly on this show, Bernie Kosar. And Bernie, as we near the draft, we're only a couple of weeks away from draft week, the conversation ramps up, the rechecks and double checks and triple checks, whatever you want to call them, are underway by all teams, including the Browns, to see exactly what some of these players are all about. And it doesn't necessarily mean because they take an extra look at a guy because that's the guy they want, but you want to know, I think, everything about everybody because it affects your draft strategy even with regard to what other teams might do around you in the draft.
Absolutely. I mean, you're right. We're 2 weeks from draft week. We're 17 days and a couple hours from actual picking and being in a position to handle that number one draft pick. And although we talked about it at the combines and people and fans talk about it, I think sometimes they really overlook it, the critical importance of not only what other people are doing around you or potentially what they may do around you, but also the overall health and physicals that the kids have gone through. We looked at the defensive tackle, Star Latule from Utah, who had the irregular heartbeat. We talked about Matt Barkley, who's a quarterback coming into the draft with an average-ish arm and then has a right shoulder problem. Teams that are interested in players, particularly at the higher end, the top end of the draft, it's critically imperative that from a medical perspective, the teams understand exactly what they're getting, because if you have an issue as a 20, 21, 22-year-old college kid coming into the pros, odds are if you have an issue health-wise, physical-wise, it'll exponentially get worse as you continue to play pro football. The importance of the draft, the importance of the draft picks, it's really imperative that you understand what you're getting yourself into, especially from a health and physical standpoint.
For sure. And Bernie, as we move closer to this draft, the conversation seems to narrow about what the Browns will do at number six. There's an overwhelming sense among bloggers and prognosticators and people who are doing their mock drafts that this is the place at six for the Browns to take D. Milner, the cornerback from Alabama. And to some, it's like a foregone conclusion. I'm not as convinced of that as others are, even though it's a crying need, and even though Milner ranks as the, or looks as the best corner in the draft, I still think the possibility is equally as good that the Browns could go defensive end, or I should say outside linebacker, a guy who might have been an end at the collegiate level, and I'm talking about Deion Jordan from Oregon specifically, who could fit very nicely as an outside linebacker in the Browns defense. My sense is that this is a discussion about getting a corner or helping your secondary just as much by having a better pass rush, by knowing that you have now maybe two difference makers in Paul Kruger and whoever else you draft.
Well, would I be greedy to say I wouldn't mind either one of those two options, to have wanting both of them? In the Browns defense, that's for sure. But one of the things that, and Hanford Dixon, a good friend of ours and a good friend of the show, may get upset with me about this, but, you know, if you don't rush the quarterback, sometimes it doesn't matter how good a cover guy you are. And pro receivers are going to get open if you give them enough time to work a DB, a corner, a safety, no matter how talented they are. So more goes, I think what a lot will go into it on a couple fronts. One, as you astutely point out, Paul Kruger being signed as a free agent and the Ray Horton coming in as the defensive coordinator, switching schemes and doing more of an attack-style defense with a free agent like Kruger, who has been capable of, at the end of games and in clutch situations, being able to put pressure on the quarterback, that adds to good defensive back play. But also the fact of, where is depth in this draft? I think if the Browns and the scouts and Mike Lombardi and Joe Banner and Chud, if they feel comfortable that, yeah, D. Miller's a fantastic cornerback, but if they feel comfortable that there's other cornerbacks, maybe not at his level of play, but there's depth in the draft to, in later rounds, get cornerbacks that have an ability to play at the NFL level, like Pete Carroll has found in Seattle the last couple years. He's taken some guys in mid-round picks that a lot of people didn't think were going to amount to much, and he's put together a really strong secondary. Conversely, same thing is true from the outside linebacker pass rushing side of it. Yeah, Deion Jordan from Oregon looks like a phenomenal, phenomenal athlete with a lot of upside at the outside linebacker Sam rush position. But if you find other guys in the draft in the mid to late rounds that you feel may not be at his athleticism standpoint, but you find that they maybe have other guys that are capable of being good to solid to above average players that could rush the quarterback in the mid to late rounds, that also sometimes affects how you handle your first round pick. If you think in the second, third, fourth, fifth round, you could add guys that play the same position, that could do similar things, that may give you an opportunity to go a different way with that first pick.
Bernie Kosar joining us via the Revel Wireless Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You know, Bernie, and this is, I know, a question that you will better answer, but this is a perspective I have, trying to look at it the way a quarterback would look at it. And I'm thinking that, yeah, a cornerback is someone you worry about, a good one. You've thought about, you've prepared a game plan, knowing what this guy can do. You've studied his tendencies, all that stuff. But I would still say your bigger concern after the snap of the ball is that pass rusher and how much time he's going to give you or not give you to make that throw. So from a value standpoint, while it's imperative to have good people covering, if, and I think about this AFC North in particular, when Ben Roethlisberger buys those extra seconds that he, by trademark, is able to do, there is no corner, as great a corner as you could have covering, can't hold his guy so long that extra time that he gets by moving around, prevents him from making the throw. He's going to make the completion because the greatest corner can't cover a guy forever, and there's only a certain amount of time. And we've seen this more and more in this game with quarterbacks who are mobile, who are able to buy time, that they're making even outstanding corners look bad.
Well, Vic, again, you're I don't want to seem too agreeable and too happy and nice on Monday here, but I couldn't agree with you anymore on that point. You're right on there. The cornerbacks today, their athleticism, there's no doubt that they're fantastic, but you hit it right on the head. The Ben Roethlisbergers, the guys who, Colin Kaepernick showed it last year. Hey, even Joe Flacco, who's supposedly a mobile, stay-in-the-pocket quarterback, showed, especially in the Denver game with 31 seconds to go, being able to buy time, step around, and make throws down the field. The best cornerbacks are challenged when a quarterback's able to buy time, get those couple extra seconds, and when you have to cover for 4, 5, 6 seconds as opposed to 1.5 to 3 seconds, boy, even the best cornerbacks, even the most talented athletes with God-given ability, it's almost impossible to cover down the field. So, again, it is, in today's pass game, imperative that you have good cover cornerbacks. But we've talked at length on the show, on the air and off the air privately, about the importance of the front seven, the need to be able to consistently put pressure on the quarterback, and not only put pressure, but cause them during the course of the game week in preparation to have them cognizant of who these guys are, where they have to alter their protection schemes, where the linemen, the backs, the tight ends, the quarterback, the offensive coordinator, the play caller are altering and thinking about these guys who put pressure on the quarterback, because that still, in my opinion, is the most disruptive thing to good offense.
Bernie, let's address some of the questions and comments that people submit to the Browns official Facebook and Twitter pages. And let's try this one. Dave from Twitter is asking this. He says, is cutting so much of the Browns defense without signing new players making this team better? Only so many draft picks can start. Now, he's referring, of course, to Chris Gokong and Usama Young, who were released last week especially, and then thinking that this team is relying, or making the point that this team is going to rely too much on draft picks in addition to the, I guess, the people brought in free agency. But I say this, first of all, the defensive side has been what's been addressed in free agency. So the outgoing players, I think there's more than a wash here. I think, and as outstanding a player as Chris Gokong could be, he's no longer a fit in this defense, and I don't think Usama Young was as much of a difference maker as this team needed him to be to justify keeping him aboard and not pursuing somebody else via the draft or however they do it. I know they haven't signed any safety yet in free agency, but my thought on this is that I don't think that you're putting too much pressure on the draft to supplement these spots, but this still is a young team, and yes, it is going to continue to get younger.
Well, I really believe, and maybe a slight disagreement with you here, I actually think there is a lot of pressure, not only on our team for the draft, every team right now. The draft is imperative to every team's success now in the NFL. It's just the way the game has changed with the salary cap, with basically the rookie draft pick wage scale. There is pressure on every team to pick good and rely on the draft, whether you want to or not. And you look to the Super Bowl champs, Baltimore Ravens, last year. I think they had 10 or 11 rookies playing and suiting up for them in the Super Bowl last year. So even top teams, teams that like Baltimore, that was supposedly a veteran, old team, they supplemented their team with so many young guys. So that is the way it's going. And to your point, or to the Twitter question, I don't call it a wash either. Look, and I'm not trying to jump on Usama Young, but it was supposedly a big free agent signing a few years ago, coming from New Orleans, coming from our area here. But, you know, he age and injuries, or something that Father Time gets a lot of us in the football business. Mm-hmm. He didn't practice a lot, missed most of training camp. I think every year he was here with a new system and him getting older. You really need to be in practice today. It's tough to miss so much practice and then be able to be a playmaker on Sunday afternoon. And you hit it right on the head with Chris Gokong. You know, hard-working guy who came over from Philadelphia in the trade when Tom Hecker came over and Mike Holmgren came in, but better suited probably for a 4-3 defense, switching to the 3-4, not really as much of a position for him, and he's coming off an injury too, and he had a hard time staying healthy. So, again, I don't want to minimize these two guys or throw darts at them on their way out. But the odds of them contributing, like they really didn't contribute last year, the odds of them contributing this year aren't very good. So to have added guys like Kruger and to have open spaces like this, a lot of teams are looking for safeties right now. We're not the only team. So the draft is something where, yeah, there's some young safeties in there. Yeah, it's tough to be a rookie safety in the league, no doubt about it. But it's more the direction I think the league is going with the salary cap where it is and the rookie wage scale, that you have to be able to have success within the draft to have your team compete over the course of a whole season.
One more. William from Facebook, he's talking about the Browns switch to a 3-4. He says the Browns need to get a dominant guy or a dominant pass rusher or a nose guard. I mean, I think the dominant pass rusher, we talked about this, could come in the draft in addition to Paul Kruger, because this is a draft-related point he's making. Phil Taylor and John Hughes, I mean, I think you probably could rely on those guys there. I'm looking at their physical prototype. He also, William, makes the point that, you know, there's offensive linemen are deep in this draft, so maybe you could pick up somebody there after the second round. And I think I'd go along with that as well. But I'm inclined to think, let's see what Phil Taylor or John Hughes are able to do in that middle area.
Well, I concur with you there. Look, Phil Taylor, John Hughes have played really good football. Tyler Rubin has played phenomenal football. I mean, that's one area where I feel really comfortable with. Yeah, there's some guys in the draft that definitely are going to be fantastic NFL football players. But, you know, a lot of people are saying, hey, this draft is a weak draft at the top end of it. And I don't know if it's weak as much as there is a high risk, I think, high reward at the top end of it. But I really do think there's some positions like offensive linemen, tackles, outside linebackers, defensive tackles. There's some receivers that in those rounds 2, 3, 4, and 5 could be some really special immediate contributing players that could be there. So, again, there may not be the sex appeal, the sizzle of some of these top-end media-driven names that maybe we've had in the past, but there's a lot of I think depth and athleticism, and we saw it by the combines, we saw it by some of the film that we've studied on guys that aren't necessarily household names, but guys that could be drafted in second, third, fourth, fifth round, even later, that really have the athleticism and potential to be really difference makers in the NFL. So the more of those type of picks and the more of those type of opportunities you have, I think that really helps increase your chance to more quickly redefine your team or redefine your defense moving from a 4-3 to a 3-4.
Bernie, great as always, and we will talk to you again soon, my friend.
Sounds great.
All right, he is Bernie Kosar, the quarterback, joining us as he regularly does via the Rebel Wireless Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.